Hi, Church on the Ridge. Really great having each one of you with us this weekend and being a part of our online viral. No, it's not viral. Viral means you got to have like more than five viewers, right? Virtual. Our virtual experience here at Church on the Ridge online. Really is, again, a joy having you. I got to tell you, this week was a challenging week for my family. We spent about 5 days in Spokane area. My mom's husband of 39 years went into the hospitals very, very quick. He had this rapid cancer that took over. And I got there. I couldn't go into the room to see him. The COVID thing, you know, just keeps everything on lockdown. And on Sunday, he passed. And it's now having to walk out how to not do a funeral, how to deal with all the stuff that he took care of. He really was a good caregiver for my mom. And now he's gone, and dealing with parents that are aging is a new challenge in a lot of ways. And just want to say thank you to our church. It's great having our church family being a part of my life, people I can go to for prayer, encouragement, support, people that have walked through it before, further along than I am in this area of their life. And it's a great help. So thank you. Thank you for all your prayers. I also want to thank some of the wonderful ladies in our church who have made hundreds of these COVID-19 masks. You know, they're designed, well, they're wonderfully designed. They're fantastic. They go right over your face. I've worn this one many times, but I stole this one from a batch that was supposed to go to our workers next door, because now we're able to go back to work. A lot of restrictions on the work. The process is certainly slow, but these masks have been a wonderful help. The construction company has told us so many times, tell the ladies thank you. So Bev Lucas and Kathy Fox and the ladies that you guys have working with you to make these masks, thank you, thank you, thank you. Our guys, thank you. The guys on the site, thank you. And, you know, the latest, again, slowdown has put everything out of whack, but we're looking at maybe September. And I'm not going to be definitive, but maybe September we'll be able to get into the building, and I'll be keeping you posted as things start progressing really fast along the way. So we're looking forward to the day when we move in. And I got to thank Kevin last week for the series, the Get Your Brick On. It was so great. Love one of the lines he said, "I cannot lead myself by myself." And that was fantastic. And I took that. I took it to our group, and our group had wonderful discussion over it. I hope yours did too. But today, I'm going to be talking about staying connected. Get your brick on and keep it on with the ones you love. Get your brick on, keep it on with the ones you love. Have you ever built a Lego that was really complicated and you didn't get all the pieces pushed on right away? And so maybe your child's playing with it or whatever, and they keep bringing it back to you, dad, and they bring it and you push it on again and bring it and push it on. And it's like the whole thing, you know, relationships are complicated. Let's be honest. Relationships are complicated, and all the pieces got to fit perfectly. They got to fit in the right spot, and they got to be pushed on, you know, because a little bit of tension, if it's not done, just a little bit, and a little pressure, the tension mounts in your home and a lot of pieces go flying. You know, unfortunately, because we're on lockdown, we're under house arrest, a lot of things are unraveling into a mess. Yeah, I'm sure you've read the reports. Domestic violence is up, abuse is up, alcohol consumption is up. Being in close proximity begins to expose us to the frailty of our brick connections, especially in our own home. It requires relational skills that a lot of us have not used in a while or have never had. And some of the coping mechanisms that we've been using for a long time are now out the window. We can't do it. Can't go to the gym. You know, work off steam. And you can tell, I do a lot of gym work. Okay. You don't get the commute on the drive home. Just being able to drive home and just process and detox. So when you walk in the home, there's opportunity there for, you know, not the frenetic chaos. Going out to eat. Hey, you know what? Hey, this is get out of the house. I'm going to make dinner. The place, let's just get out. And you're out of that environment. Just being able to go hang out with friends, you know, a different face, different voices, different stuff that you can hang out with. And a Christian, just because we are followers of Christ, does not mean we're immune to the effects of the virus. You know, we have to deal constantly with the people in our life that we love the most. But why is it the people that we love the most can annoy us the most? Isn't that wild? We love them, but boy, they're, yeah, you know, we're connected to these people, But not all the bricks are always as secure or in the right place as they should be. Thankfully, as followers of Christ, God has given us his word that provides us with the power to stay connected and not fall out of love and not fall apart, right? Let me tell you, this is not a new problem. The Bible spoke about this over 5,000 years ago. There's a great story of a couple named Isaac and Rebecca. Now they're married and their kids are still living at home. And their kids are grown, living at home a little bit. And Jacob and his brother Esau, they're married. And Esau, he gets married, but he can't move out yet, right? Finances, the culture of the day, can't move out yet. And let me read you the story in the Bible. The Bible says this: at the age of 40, Esau married two Hittite wives, Judith, daughter of Beeri, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon. Now check this out. This is classical, right? But Esau's wives made life miserable for Isaac and Rebecca, for mom and dad, all right? They're making life miserable. It's a large tent kind of situation. The rooms are separated not by sheetrock, not by brick, by a curtain. So you get a curtain between you in this house, one enclosed space, living on top of each other. Does it sound familiar? Right? And they get to the point where they're done and the Legos are coming apart. The next chapter, Rebecca says this, the mom says this to her husband, right? He's like, wives, you ever just kind of have to let off some steam to your husband? I'm sick and tired of these Hittite women, and I would rather die than let my other boy, Esau's twin brother Jacob, marry one of them. Sick and tired. The word in the Hebrew is the same word that used for disgust or loathing. I'm up to here, right? Now, why is that? Why do we get to that spot? Well, let me give you three possible reasons you're having brick issues in your home, all right? Number one, a difference in faith and values. Esau married outside of his faith. The values that he was raised with were not the same value as his wives. If you don't share the faith with those in your home, if you're married to someone of a different faith or outside of your faith, it's going to cause issues. There's going to be tension on your bricks. And let me encourage, if you're dating somebody and they don't have the same beliefs, they don't have the same values of you, stop. Get out of that thing. Say, well, pastor, I know what's going to happen. I'm going to bring him to church. He said he would come to church on the ridge with me once we open the doors again. And so I know it's going to be great. Or yeah, he's watched online. He's told me he's watched it, you know, online. Let me just tell you this. These are not actual statistics. I haven't kept track, but 37 years of ministry. All right. My guess is this: 1 out of 100 of those relationships actually work out. When people say they're dating somebody that they're going to, you know, they're going to come around, 1 out of 100. If you show me one person, I promise you, I could find right here in our own church, I could introduce you to people who married somebody outside their faith, different value system, and the challenges, the problems, the struggles that they go through. They don't always divorce. They make it, but the challenges go through it the rest of their marriage. Think about just simply praying together over a meal. Right? As followers of Jesus, we want to thank God for our family. We want to thank God for what he's given to us. And so we stop in our mealtimes, a wonderful place is to stop, say, God, thank you for the people in my family. Thank you for this wonderful meal you provided for us. And God, thanks. The other person at best is simply going to be distracted and wishing it was going to be over. You know, placate you as they, you know, just kind of, because they're not thankful to a God that they don't believe in. And at worst, they will make fun of the whole thing. And the whole family picks up on it. In fact, it's a form of rejection that you go, I don't know if I want to pray again, because I know I'm just going to be rejected. They're not going to be enthusiastic about reading the Bible to the kids. They're not going to be enthusiastic about reading the Bible with you. The values are going to be different. As a follower of Christ, we have a certain set of values that we have committed to, that the Bible teaches us. There are things that I've talked all this week in my video about our eyes, my little YouTube incursion about our eyes, and we have to watch what we watch. Some things the Bible says, hey, these are not healthy for a strong, secure relationship. You know, bricks are going to start coming apart if you don't watch some of these things in your eyes. And right now, it may be challenging for you to find some things on television to watch, right? Netflix. I mentioned a couple weeks ago about that Tiger Lily guy. You know, seriously, Really? That you're going to watch that? In one of those YouTubes I mentioned, I told my boys when they were old enough, I said, hey, guys, we get to watch James Bond. Like, what's James Bond? Oh, he's the greatest spy that ever lived. And I was so excited to introduce my boys to James Bond. And Steve was older, Kate was a little younger, but you know how little ones, they just kind of draft with the bigger one once, you know, he was too little for it when he was, but anyway, so we're going to watch James Bond. Now, Sandy goes, Charlie, are you sure you want to watch James Bond with the boys? Yeah, they're going to love it. They're going to love it, right? And so, okay. So she's not watching, and her and Hannah are doing something, and we're watching this thing, and it comes to one of those parts. And I wish there was just one in the movie, but there are multiple where the girl starts undressing, Bond's undressing, the whole thing's going south, but my boys are sitting there, and I'm sweating bullets, right? Going, do I turn this off? What do I do? And how does this happen? Sandy walks in. She goes, seriously? I think that's the word. Seriously? This is what you're watching, right? And he's like, you're right. You're right. Come on, boys, we can't watch this. And we turn the thing off. Now, what would have happened if we had different values? What would have happened if our values were out of alignment? You talk about the tension growing. Hey, you know, and I would have pushed back and the whole thing. If you're in a home where the values and the spiritual life is different, just recognize you're going to have some tension. And if you're the follower of Jesus in that, you're the one who's got to dial down that tension. Number two, a difference in personalities. The difference in faith and values, a difference in personalities. Isaac and Rebecca, they're two individual people. And they're going to be different in the way they view life, view things. Their whole personality is different. Esau is going to be different. Their boy, Jacob's going to be different. The wives are going to be, all these personalities in the room together, in the house together, and they're all different. We get along. And the reality is, we're constantly with somebody without a lot of separation, those differences become magnified. I live in a home with introverts, all right? Sandy's an introvert. Hannah's an introvert. My stinking cat is an introvert. My dog is an introvert, right? I go crazy. Like, I need some social interaction, right? And I'm there. If you've ever done a Myers-Briggs type personality profile, you know these letters. I am an ENFP. Sandy is an ISTJ. Now you can see extrovert, intuition, feeling, perception, introvert, sensing, thinking, judging. That's not important. I've taught about it a lot. Well, what is important is notice not two letters are the same. So on the 16 fundamental personality types, her and I are on absolute opposite ends of the spectrum, right? Not one letter the same. Now, somebody said opposites attract, and that's so true because she is beautiful. Man, she is just absolutely just the sweetest looking thing I've ever seen in my life. And when I saw her the first time, she knocked me out, and I was attracted to her. And I'm like I said, opposites attract. But opposites also attack. Sandy and I have talked about this a lot in church. You can go back to our last series on relationships if you want to watch it. So I'm not going to get into it. But add kids to the mix of personality types, right? Here's what would be fun. If you get to know the personality type of the people you're with, you're able to walk with them and deal with them in a much better way. You can dial down that tension, not put so much pressure on the bricks and see this thing splatter because you recognize that is who God made them to be. But your kids also have personality types. It'd be fun. Instead of watching Netflix maybe tonight or this week, why don't you, as a family, take an online personality profile test? They're easy to do. You can Google, you know, Myers-Briggs personality. Here's one that I've used many times, 16 personalities. And just pull that up and watch what happens. Get do it together and read about your family members. That would be a fun family activity for you. If you're a couple without kids, do it as a couple. Even if you've done it before, go back and read those things because you tend to forget what the other person is like. Number three, misplaced anger. So we got different values, personalities, and misplaced anger. Frustrated at things that are out of your control. And then you take those things out in your home. And because you're in your home, there's no place to release that tension. It's right there. And there's tension on those bricks. One of the places that we can have a misplaced anger is with our government. You know, I have to be honest. I really believe our government has overreacted to this COVID virus, this corona thing. I really do. Maybe when we first started, there was a sense of unknowns and we first heard about it. And it seems like it's now become a power game. You know, who has the power? And those in power want to wield the power. They don't want to let go of the power. It's no longer about science and data. It's about power. I was in a Zoom. I'm not allowed to be in a room anymore with people. And the people in the Zoom were grousing about, you know, the government. And I had heard earlier that week a couple doctors being interviewed. And so I was ready with my ammunition. I was going to enter right into the fray and just start firing off shots and just getting ready to attack. And I was going to raise the tension on the bricks right there in the room. And I began to say this. One of the things that I would like to do to our leader, and I named the person, and right when I named the person, I had a pause for like a half a second, just really, really quick. It just hit me. And the next thing out of my mouth, I said, I'd like to pray for them and submit to their authority. And the Zoom, the people were like, what? What had happened? The Holy Spirit had stopped me. I was getting ready to raise the tension in the room and add fuel to the fire. Holy Spirit stopped me and reminded me. This is in a number of places in the Bible, many places. But here's the verse that came to mind. It's 1 Timothy 2:2. It says, pray for kings, your government, right? Those who are in authority, so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives and make godliness, marked by godliness and dignity. Peaceful and quiet lives. If you're frustrated or angry with the government, and hey, they've taken away my rights, I didn't have any civil liberties, don't bring it into your home. Don't bring it into your office. Take it to the Lord. That is misplaced anger. That belongs to God. He says, pray for them. The anger only increases the pressure on your bricks. Just because people in our culture do it, it is no place for the Christ follower. You cannot live by faith and the culture. You got to make a decision. Am I going to live by my values, the word of God, or am I going to live by what everybody's doing around me? Number two, being mad at God, all right? Our anger with God is affecting the tension in the home. God, why are you letting these things happen? I'm praying, not sending answers to the prayer. Man, what's going on? I applied for the money. The money didn't come and it's coming late. And what's going on? God, where are you, right? I personally believe that this whole COVID thing is a work of darkness. Behind those powers is an insidious power. The Bible talks about the God of this world and how the God of this world blinds our eyes so that we can't see. The Bible teaches that the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Here's what also the Bible teaches, that what the enemy means for evil, God can turn around for good. I got a nice email from one of our elders, Tom Kochi, this week, and let me see if I can find it. He told me about some missionaries in India, Ryan and Katie Vars, and they're on lockup. You know, they're under house arrest over there too, and they're trying now to minister to the people in the villages and the people in their community that they've been called to serve and help. And it's a challenge, right? Just like we're having here in the States. But I can just imagine what it's like in a country in the rural areas like that. Let me read you one of the things it says. Hey, God, they've been trying to encourage that. You won't believe what God's doing in the midst of this stuff. We were just on a group call with some of our leaders last week, and they shared about how the Lord is providing for them as they're feeding the villages of the people, right? Can't get food, but God's feeding them. One medical worker is using Skype to give medical advice and even walk through minor medical procedures. All right, now take the knife and cut right. No, I don't know how they did it, but this is really cool. One leader shared that they were hoping to show the Jesus film. The Jesus film is this story of the life of Jesus, right? Done in the languages of the people that go to missionaries, use it all the time. I've used it, super effective, and just shares the life of Jesus in some of the rural villages. But because of the lockdown, it was impossible. They couldn't get there and show the film. It's like, we can't go to the theaters here, whatever. Instead, look at this. They paid the local TV station to air it from Friday to Sunday on Easter weekend. Hey guys, here's some programming. Would you guys show our film? We'll pay you to do it. And it was so successful that the station aired it on Monday and Tuesday as well for free. Wow, people love this. Let's show it again. Let's show it again. The same worker also wanted to give away, newly translated in the language of that village, the Gospel of Matthew, right? A part of the Bible. But because they weren't able to go out, they had 4,000 copies printed in the local newspaper. The newspaper printed the Bible for them in the language of the people, for the people in the villages. Is that amazing? Let me give you one more. God is taking that which the enemy means for evil and turn it for good. This online platform that many of you are watching, not Facebook, not YouTube, but the online platform that many of you are using, is given away by a church out of Oklahoma. It's called Life Church, Pastor Craig Rochelle. And he said to his church last weekend, he said, guys, before COVID started, we had given away 3,000 of these platforms, 3,000 churches, give it away for free, are using our online platform. Since COVID has started, over 20,000 churches are now using our online platform, and we're giving away for free, right? It's free to them, but it's not free to us, he says. And he said, this is what's really cool. Church, he's just affirming his church and thanking his church for all the tithes and offerings that are coming. He says, guys, since that time, over 200,000 people have made an affirmation for Christ Jesus. And I went, wow, wow. In the lockdown, God is being used overseas in wild places that never would have happened here in the United States. And can I also tell you, I was just inspired by Craig, Pastor Craig. Can I thank you, Church on the Ridge, as well for your gifts, for your tithes, your offerings, and helping continue the work of Church on the Ridge that we might reach every single home in this community. And now through the miracle of the internet and online services, people are talking about it being, you know, in other states and even across the globe. So thank you. Thank you for your support and your giving. Mad at God, right? Mad at the government. And number three, you know, just being mad at your boss, maybe your job, you know, and you come home, you take it out on the kids. And can I encourage you? Your job is not the source for your life. Your job is not your source. I know you think it is, but they're the ones who give me my check, the ones who, you know, direct deposit my mail. No, and the government is not your source. Your stimulus check is not your source. Your PPE loan is not your source. Can I encourage you? If you're struggling with your job, your boss, where your money's going to come from this whole time, will you read Matthew chapter 6? Matthew chapter 6, it's an easy read in the Bible. Matthew chapter 6, easy to find. Read it and then read it again. And then read it again, and then read it again. And you keep reading that until it sinks into your heart, until it gets into your psyche, until it gets into your spirit, till you all of a sudden, those words of Christ become powerful to you. And you're going, wow, I didn't just read the Bible. Okay, I read it, Pastor. No, you allow it to sink deep into your heart and who you are, and watch what happens to you. One of my good friends did this, and he read it and read it and read it and read it. And he's going, Charlie, you won't believe this, man. I'm seeing God a new way. In fact, he told me just a little while ago that he quit his job in the worst recession in 90 years when many of the college students coming out of school can't get a job. Some of you have lost your job and you can't get a job. He quits a great job because he felt like God was telling him to go the direction that God wanted him to go, and it took a step of faith. His job was not his source, right? His paycheck was not his source, that the God of the universe was his source, and by reading Matthew chapter 6, it permeated his life. So let me encourage you, all right? If you're mad at your job, go to Christ. All of these things create tension on your bricks. And sometimes you can't hold it together any longer and you get sick and tired like Rebecca was, just frustrated. And you know what I've discovered? The number one brick breaker in your home, the number one brick breaker in my home, you know what it is? Take a guess. Everybody's got one. You've got the number one brick breaker in your home right now. In fact, it's on you. In fact, it's a part of you. It's your mouth. It's your mouth. The words we say, put downs, you know. The tone in which we say it, sarcasm. The volume we use. I'm not yelling. I'm just passionate. You ever said that? Somebody look at you, stop yelling. I'm not yelling. The posture we take, right? Our body language, the rolling of our eyes, right? So it's a lot more than the words we speak. Proverbs 13:3 says this, be careful what you say and protect your life. You want to protect your home? You want to protect your home from carnage, from the bricks falling apart? A careless talker destroys himself, but he also destroys his family. hey, but I need to tell them when they're wrong, right? Why? Is it always necessary for you to vocalize your opinion? Do you realize that we can't fix people? The only person you can fix is you can fix yourself. And if there's one area that you want to start fixing for yourself, it's this area right here. It's your mouth. We can start fixing our mouth. Proverbs 21:3 says, watch what we say, and it can save you a lot of trouble. Just watch, it can save you a lot of trouble. Vocalized opinion, when I've not resolved the issue in my heart, that discontent, becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. It becomes self-fulfilling. I can't take it anymore. As soon as you say it, you create the environment in your mind and in your spirit, in your heart, to make it reality. And you really can't take it anymore. I've said it. Oh, right? Oh, the kids are getting on my nerves. And sure enough, the kids are getting on your nerves. Proverbs 23 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. When I have not resolved this conflict in my heart, it comes out of my mouth. That thing unresolved will eventually make its way out of my mouth. And it increases tension and it decreases understanding. Unresolved conflict that comes out of my mouth that increases tension, decreases understanding. I'm not going to hear what the other person is saying, and it escalates the pressure. And all I'm trying to do, when God's word teaches us, I love this in Ephesians. Oh, where's that passage? Yeah, Ephesians says, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults. And it says, make every effort to keep yourself united in the Spirit, binding yourself together in peace. If you want to keep your bricks together, it's going to happen through binding yourselves together in peace. Remember, you cannot control what other people say. But God has given you the ability to control what we say to other people. Maybe we don't really need your opinion. Maybe we don't really need your advice. Maybe we don't need your attention on our bricks. Maybe each one of us need to keep that to ourselves. That is what it means by making every effort. If we stop in times of tension and pressure, and we think through those words, we are making the effort. When we don't, we're not doing what the Word of God says, to make every effort. Here's one of the things you can do. When that thing wants to come out of your head, stop and speak the opposite. Boy, instead of those kids getting on my nerves, I love that I have kids. I'm grateful for the closeness of our family. I'm thankful that I have a family that I can live with. Say the opposite. If you're going, well, I don't think I can say it and be genuine, Pastor. I don't think it's going to be disingenuous coming out of you. Well, start it in your mind. Say it in your mind. Don't you have to say it out loud. Say, what would it sound like if I had to say something nice to my kids right now that are just on my lap, right? What would happen if I had to say to my spouse, right? What would it sound like? Remember, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So think it in your mind, think it in your heart, and allow that to come out of your mouth. Control what comes out of your mouth. Control what comes out of your tongue. Let me remind you of these four areas: the words that we say, the tone, how we say it, the volume that we use, the posture that we take, our body language. Which of these four areas do you need to allow God to take control of? You need to give to him today. For me, I know it's my face. Man, I can get a face that is just cutting and awful. My body language can be so antithetical to who I am as a Christ follower, and it brings tension to the room. I'd like us to read this whole prayer, at least the first part of this whole prayer in Psalm 141. The psalmist starts out by saying, oh Lord, I'm calling to you, please hurry. Are you at a point in your life where the tension is building, and if he doesn't come through soon, things are going to scatter? Well, this prayer is for you. It's for me. He says, accept my prayer of incense. God, I'm offering it to you. God, with upraised hands, it's a sign of surrender. God, I need you. God, if you don't take over, I don't know what's going to happen, Lord. God, it's an offering. Take control of what I say, O Lord. Guard my lips. Is there tension in your home? Is your Legos coming apart? Take a moment. Maybe you need to apologize to a family member. Maybe you need to call out to God. If anyone's going to get through this, it's going to be because they have hope. And in just a moment, the band is going to sing a song about having hope. And you got to know where you're going to put your hope in. Is it in your ability to put your bricks together the best way you know how? Or is your hope going to be in something bigger outside of yourself that comes in and says, hey, I will put a guard over your lips. I will put a seal over your home. Yes, the tension's going to come, but with Christ there, he'll turn that evil into good. While the band is playing, while the worship is going on, maybe you just want to lift up your hands. Maybe you just want to bow your heads. You know what you would really be cool? If you clicked on that little button, if you're on our online platform, and you said, pray for me. Pray for me. Go in and let one of our prayer partners pray with you today. A lot of times we vocalize it out and we allow our need to be expressed to another person. All of a sudden, God says, hey, that was some faith you showed there. Now let me take your faith and mix it with the prayer partner's faith, and together that faith will begin to change your home, your family, and most importantly, you and our mouths. So I encourage you, pray with us as we worship together in Jesus' name. I love you, Church on the Ridge.